Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And based on the people that are here today, must be Friday. And I am looking forward to the show because, well, once again, I'm hanging out with really cool people. So, with that, Patrice, how are you?
I don't know how you got from cool people to me, but okay. I'll take it. I'm good. Not gonna lie, a bit of a long day, not a lot of sleep. I think we recorded until 1 a.m. ish yesterday or last night.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then I had to get up at like 6:15 because I had an 8 a.m. doctor's appointment and another 9:45 doctor's appointment. Fortunately, all of that was pretty quick, and then I had to work. I actually managed to work in between them. I thought I would just go from one to the other, but I actually managed to go home and have breakfast and work a little and then go to the other. Been a productive day, though, because Germany has a day off, so nobody was interrupting me. I was like, finally, I can get some stuff done because nobody is pinging me up things. So actually, it was a very productive day today. And I'm looking very much, weather is beautiful in Vienna. It's freaking cold. It's like, I don't know, I think the top temperature today is something like 8 degrees Celsius, so about like somewhere in the 40s, 44, 45 probably. So it is freezing for October, especially since we had like, I think 2-3 weeks ago, we still had like 90s, so 30 something degrees. So been a bit of a roller coaster, but yeah, good week. Good weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully going to get to fly on Sunday, so haven't heard back
it is,
yet.
But you get to fly.
Yeah, Germany is Unity Day, right?
So yes. My dad.
I saw someone posted that in my mm-hmm. Chat today. The office in Frankfurt's closed.
Yeah, my dad, the ever optimist he was, would have said, "Oh, it's like the saddest day of the year," but. you know, to this day, Western Germany versus Eastern Germany is still a thing. Like, I think it's going to take a couple generations.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
No. Anyway, congrats to Germany, and I hope you're enjoying it. And Austria got to work. So, but as I said, I had a full day of nothing. I had literally one meeting with someone in Germany, actually, because he was working still at 10:30. It was just my boss. So I was like, okay. And then he went back to whatever he was doing. So I'm like, okay.
Okay. Well, good. At least he was doing a little bit of celebrating.
Yeah. I mean, no, he's not. But he takes the day off anyway.
Well, okay. So close enough.
Close enough, exactly.
Yeah. Dave, how are you doing?
Doing great. It's Friday. Glad to be here working from home and being here with you guys and still sorting out my new setup here. A little bit of a mess. I got through some things and ready to get rid of it all and start over. But you know I won't.
Oh, that will fill up in no time. No problem. Well,
the closet is jam-packed and I get nothing but grief from the wife, so... You know, I still have to keep one of those, you know, just like I just showed you off the before the show, all those Apple 30-pin connectors I still have.
So, yeah, well, I mean, you never know when you're going to need one.
And I have an iPod, so I kept the 30-pin connector for that.
Yep. I have a couple as well, and I have done the most horrible... homunculus cable strings, adapter strings to get iPods connected back to my Mac. At one point, I actually used a, what were those? Drobo. I used a Drobo as a go-between because it had two different ports on it so it could act as a transition device.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really? So, really?
getting things in order here, and hopefully I'll have it all ready to go.
Yeah. And behind that door behind you, you're building probably the big warehouse where you store everything you own.
Yeah.
Yes.
That door right there goes downstairs.
downstairs, so it's to the archive.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like, that goes probably 15 levels deep or something. It's like all storage. Like warehouse 14. Something like that.
You know the last scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they're panning back and there's the guy pushing the crate with the Ark of the Lost Covenant?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what it's like when you go through that door.
That is literally what you see when you go through that door.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about it before, but you're right.
You gotta remember, Jeff has been through that door, so he knows it.
See, exactly, yeah. He knows.
Yeah, I am an authority on this
mm-hmm.
topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Dave, I like how the place is coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. It's getting there. I gotta get the work one behind me set. This was more important. We gotta have this all set for podcast.
Right?
Work? Yep. Who needs work?
Right? Work, schmirk. Yeah. Yeah, and also with us is Chuck Joyner. Chuck, how's it going?
Oh, hey, Jeff. I think you're the best guy in the whole world. I'm so glad I'm here with you today.
Chuck, thank you. That is so nice of you.
No, really, I mean it. By the way, I'm buying everyone a Vision Pro today because I love you all.
Oh, Chuck, what a great guy. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I wish you could hear that.
That's swell.
Yeah. Was that Chuck Gimmett?
Yeah.
No, that was Chuck Joyner's voice.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So Chuck will be back on camera at some point. But for now, we can at least be happy that he's buying everyone a Vision Pro.
Yeah. And, hopefully it's a new one because I already have one, so...
Why would I need a new one? Yeah.
Okay. Good. Sure.
Yeah,
I'll take
it'll be
it.
A new one.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, that's really generous of him.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's Chuck.
Yeah. So, excuse me. Well, I guess leading from Chuck's generosity, we do have some Vision Pro news, and
do we?
And Dave. You get a shout out as always for all the hard work you put in to getting your show notes together for In Touch with iOS, and then letting us crib from those. So that's where this story comes from. And actually, the stories today it's basically Dave and Patrice showing up with all the news.
Good. Yeah, why not?
So go team. Anyhow, this first news piece, this is a word coming out of Bloomberg that Apple's second Vision Pro product is now on hold so that Apple can work on a glasses product instead. And presumably because they went to catch up with Meta, and I'm using a lot of terms loosely.
I'm gonna quote Ben here. Bullshit.
So yeah, okay. Well, Patrice, on the surface, this looks like Apple is failing to do what Steve Jobs said decades ago, which is we need to skate to where the puck is going.
No.
However, yeah, no, I think is the correct response to that. That's how this is being pitched.
No, this story is as old, actually it's older than the Vision Pro probably. We've heard this story on and off for basically over a decade. At the end of the day, I think, one, Apple is doing both. I don't think they paused anything. I think they're continuing full steam ahead with both product lines. Because at the end of the day, they can afford to do both, and why wouldn't they? they're selling in, I think they're selling enough of the Vision Pros, and they can continue and can continue in public, basically do a public testing, you could call it beta testing, alpha testing, whatever, hardware mm-hmm. testing, public development of their hardware, their software, their services for the Vision Pro. And when they're ready, when the glasses are at a point where Apple is comfortable with them, and I mean, look at what we have today in glasses, like they basically all suck. They have very limited use cases, they're okay for that, but they're nowhere near where they want. And don't get me started on the Meta, oh, we're gonna ship that into a year's glasses, like I'll believe it when I see it. Like the mm-hmm. mystical, oh, can do everything, including, I don't know, cook your meals and like braid your hair or whatever glasses. No, like, it's not gonna happen. Not in the time frame that they're saying it's gonna happen. I mean, that's vaporware basically, or slideware. No, Apple can do both. They can work on the hardware like as they have been doing for basically ever. I mean, remember, they worked on an iPad, figured out that they could do a phone with the technology they developed, did a phone, then came back to the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Apple can develop the Vision Pro and keep going the way they've been doing. And I mean, keep in mind, the next, I would say, two iterations of the Vision Pro are already in the works. And probably at least one of them, probably two of them, are pretty far ahead, like pretty far advanced. And the third one is probably already being worked on. So I'm like, why? Let them, like, they will keep going. They're not pausing anything. They're not stopping anything. They're not, especially not pausing it because the Vision Pro is a failure. I think, honestly, I think they underestimated the demand and the excitement for the Vision Pro a little bit. It's my feeling.
All right, I'm going to toss out a couple crazy thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
What if Apple is doing stuff where the people that are getting the information and mm-hmm. then passing it on to us are misinterpreting what's happening? For example, Apple does have a track record of taking teams and moving them from project to project.
Yes.
So maybe the Vision Pro, the big face Vision Pro team, is working on the lighter weight thing now. Mm-hmm. That's not a pause. That's yep. just moving the people to the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another idea. What if people have been misinterpreting the lower cost Vision Pro model and what that's actually been all along
yep.
are the glasses?
Possible. I'm sure Apple has that internally. That's not a new idea. Ever since Google Glass, and I mean way before that, that's always been that way. Yeah, it's possible. I was just, when you mentioned that, I was just thinking, you know, developing a brand new product and continuing development on an existing product are kind of two different skills. Mm-hmm. In a sense. So it is absolutely possible that what you said is true, that the people who developed the initial thing, that are really good at coming up with crazy ideas where nothing exists and like figuring things out on a technical level and whatever, some of them or all of them have moved on to the next thing, to the glasses, because that's where now the puck is, or puck will be, and where there is a lot heavy lifting still to do. And the people who stayed behind are working on the next iterations. They're not stupider, they're not worse, they have a different skill. They have a skill of taking something that's already there and making it better and improving it and extending it and figuring out new ways to do it and whatever. And that's a completely different skill. I mean, I do that in my company. Like, I'm usually doing more, there's like green grass, nothing, like green field. We start from zero. We have no idea what we're doing. We spin up an entire mm-hmm. organization. We do that. At some point, I hand over my products to someone else who then sells them, runs them, continues developing them, whatever, and I move on to the next thing. So I can see that.
Okay, Patrice, what you just described And I know you weren't bragging when you said this, but it's totally mm-hmm. a legit brag if you will
not.
Accept it.
No, it's not.
You get how smart project management works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are different people that have the and everyone. What I'm doing now is just paraphrasing what Patrice said.
Good.
Everyone that works on a project has a different area of expertise.
Yes.
The people that can spin it up are not the same people that should be working on the build-up part later, the handoff part.
No.
And so you let the people that excel mm-hmm. in each thing
yes.
take that part.
Yeah.
That's a great management, Patrice.
Absolutely. And to your point is actually... It wouldn't work any other way. Like if you try to give me a product that already exists and say, like, now develop it for the next 15 years, good luck with that. because I'm not interested in it enough, or I get bored at some point. I'm like, this is not my thing. So I wouldn't thrive or survive in that environment. Other people love environments like that and are perfect mm-hmm. for it and will do a really good job. So it's not that one job is lesser than the other. Like, it's mm-hmm. really, it's really just a different skill. So as I said, that's possible. I mean, Apple is also known for sometimes having two teams competing on topics and say, okay, like who gets to the goal or to the better solution first? Or gets mm-hmm. to the better solution, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there's not...
way to work
yeah,
our product.
Apple is so secretive. I'm pretty sure whatever source here is either misinformed or wrong, or this was even a planted thing where they planted misinformation.
Yeah, well, it's a Mark Gurman piece.
Well,
and
he's been wrong.
He has been wrong, but at least on the surface, it does appear that Apple provides him information periodically
mm-hmm.
to I don't want to call him Apple's mouthpiece, but to be Apple's mouthpiece.
Yeah, but I don't think this is one of those cases. Apple wouldn't talk about this.
And all those Germaniacs that follow him, you know.
Yeah. No, Apple would. I mean,
I laughed so hard last night when you said that.
Look at all the other Apple products. All the other Apple products Apple has. Yeah, all the other products Apple has,
mm-hmm.
that for all intents and purposes have been abandoned. HomePods, kind mm-hmm. of the Apple TV, recent years. I could probably name a couple more. Like they're not officially abandoned, but you can clearly tell that there's not a lot of investment going into them, and other than, well, keeping them going. Right? I mean, who knows what's happening in the background, but at least from the outside, it looks like that. I don't think Apple mm-hmm. does that. Apple would not invest in... Actually, Apple wouldn't invest in Vision OS 3 as much as they have, and like massive jumps they've taken there. If that wasn't a product that they saw continuing for... at least foreseeable futures.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Apple, for all the money they have, they tend to be pretty frugal.
Yeah, and well, that and sometimes they just abandon things without ever talking about it. Like, you can just tell, okay, they're not interested anymore. And so, like, I mean, they might say, oh, what was it? It stays a product in our lineup or something like that.
Oh yeah, they've done that with like the iPod Mini.
Yeah,
they did that with AirPort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a product in your lineup until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. Yep.
Right.
That's
so
a really good point.
So sometimes, as I said, usually actions speak louder than words, and Apple just simply not doing anything with the product, at least not outwardly, tells you how important those products are. And as I said, I don't have that feeling on the Vision Pro side.
Yeah.
Could change, but not yet, at least.
Bob Beach in the chat is saying he doesn't think Apple has abandoned HomePod or Apple TV.
At least they're not investing. I mean, abandoned is maybe a strong word. They're definitely not investing very much in them, right?
No. As long as the delays have been for both those products, of new products.
Yeah, but it's like they've been rumors, but like for the rumors to have a new Apple TV, we've had for the last 2 years. The very strong rumors it's coming out tomorrow, and it didn't happen. The software in the meantime has basically not gotten any updates for the last two OS versions. Like minor things that they did, but like nothing where you say, oh, this is new on Apple TV. It's like, oh, it's basically the same. They just kept it.
When did we get the last hardware update on Apple TV? I think 5 years?
2022.
So 3 years.
So 3 years. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think around the same time when we had the Mini. As I said, I'm not saying Apple is like full on abandoned it. Like, who knows what they're doing in the background? But you can clearly see that the investment that we see is basically non-existent.
I will definitely agree with that, and I will offer up an example of how right you are. How long have we had HomePod and HomePod Mini on the market, and you still can't set up a surround sound system with HomePods and HomePod Minis?
Yeah, like 7 years.
You can pair them, but yeah, it's been what?
Yeah, you can do pairs. And how obvious is it? Two HomePods for your stereo front, and two Minis behind you for your surround.
Yeah, Marty is saying, what do they need to do to the current products, so TV and HomePod, that would drive new purchases? I mean, that's always the question. Like, but they're doing it for other products. They're still driving it forward. I mean, you could argue, why do they need to do a new M whatever Mac every year? Is that really driving purchases? In fact, actually, it is. It's not just about the hardware, it's also the software. Like, there's been a lot of changes on iOS, more changes on iPadOS than I expected, but still some. macOS has changed some. tvOS, I don't think they even talked about it during WWDC this year. It was literally nothing. No HomePod, no Apple TV.
Huh. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Which can mean two things, right? Either they're working on something in secret and they just don't want to show that yet, so they basically said, oh, don't look that way, there's no HomePod here. Or no Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
There's no software, this is not the droid you're looking for. Or it's not something they see continuing for the like, at least longer-term future. Doesn't mean they will abandon it right away, but it means they will limit their investment.
Yeah, so I guess we're in that part of the cycle now where we, as Dave says, we listen to the Germaniacs go crazy.
The Germaniacs.
Marty's in the chat. Thanks for that one, Marty.
Germaniacs, I love
the Germaniacs. Yeah. Yeah, he's right.
I did put a link in the live chat. Okay.
Get it, yes.
Well, then I don't think we need to beat on that one anymore. So here's one from this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The IceBlock app, which I know we have talked about. When I say we, I'm now crap.
Whee!
Was it here or was it on Mac Voices or In Touch with iOS? On some show, I have shared my thoughts about this. And Dave, you were there too, so I know you shared your thoughts.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the IceBlock app, it's been pulled from the App Store. And for those of you that are like, I don't even know what that is, a developer created an app so that you could provide information about ICE activities in the United States, because, well, that's where ICE is active. So, like, if you see ICE trying to do a raid, or their
ICE baby.
Anyhow, if you see ICE activity, then you can go on the app and say, "This is what I'm seeing right now."
Yep.
And while some people are like, "Oh, that's horrible! You can't do that." Well, I mean, there are other apps that do the same thing for other government functions.
Yes.
And in the United States, we at least, okay, without getting political, we still have the appearance of First Amendment rights in the United States. So this is an app that doesn't break any of the App Store guidelines. And yet, the Department of Justice has apparently pressured Apple, and so now they have pulled the app from the App Store.
Yeah. But I want to quote or like read what Paul Kafasis said about that, because I think it summarizes it pretty well.
And I'll drop the link into the live chat.
So he said, "Gosh, it's almost like Apple serving as the exclusive gatekeeper for what software can be installed on the iPhone and iPad and Apple TV and Apple Watch and Vision Pro is a bad thing that creates a single point of failure, which can be abused by increasingly authoritarian governments."
Authoritarian, yeah.
Authoritarian, yes. Wow. Words, hard. Yeah, he's right. I mean, there is alternative still, at least as long as we have a web browser, you could still use that, but yeah, that's not very user-friendly. Just...
Right. Yeah, I mean, with an app, it becomes much easier to let the app say, "Oh, I've got your location. I can fill that in for you. You want to include a photo? Just tap here. I will take care of it."
Mm-hmm.
"Write your note. Tap this button. We're done."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's...
And Chuck, you're back.
Hey.
I apologize. Yes, I made it. I intentionally didn't disconnect in the hopes that I would get back, and so here I am.
Chuck, just to bring you up to speed, we're talking about Apple pulling IceBlock from
IceBlock
the App Store.
And similar apps. They've
and
removed
similar apps.
Other apps.
Right.
In Thank the you. Same. Yes. Doing this at after pressure from the Department of Justice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought this one might come up, yeah.
So now the alternative app stores are looking increasingly interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been a proponent of the walled garden for apps for iOS and iPadOS.
Yeah.
However, issues like this make me question if it's worth it to have the walled garden, if it can be a single point of failure for a government agency to start controlling which apps we can and can't install.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, it's unnecessary. In a perfect world, the walled garden is perfect.
Did you say the Gould garden?
The Gould garden is perfect. Yes, exactly. The walled garden.
Walled garden. Sorry,
the Gould garden.
Jeff, let me take my usual devil's advocate position. Okay, just for the sake of discussion.
I mean, sure, since you're buying us Vision Pros, I can go with it.
Okay. Yeah, I get the single point of failure thing. But it also, if we all start looking at the alternative app stores, this is an incredible opportunity for bad actors. And maybe even bad actors who should be good actors to put out apps that could endanger your privacy. I mean, because if there's no control on China's, no wall on the garden, then, you know, not only can the icebreaker apps go in, but also maybe apps from other intelligence services.
Oh, they're already in. That I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I look at this and I say, okay, I hear what you're saying, and just go in eyes wide open, people, because, you know, it's in the Apple ecosystem, you know, at least you have somebody, you know, looking at it for the obviously nefarious things. And, you know, in the walled gardens, or the unwalled gardens, maybe not so much. There may be some more weeds there than you realize.
Yeah. But I mean, you're absolutely right. And I'm also a proponent of the walled garden usually. Like, I mean, in Europe, I could use alternative app stores, and I'm not. Because so far it's been okay. But you see the downside of that, right? So I think there is something to be said for having alternatives as an option, so that if things like this happen, there is a way where you can still do that and still have the app and still, I mean, if you trust it, like, still have the app.
And Patrice, I would agree with that, as long as you define in your own mind your priority.
Yeah, of course.
If your priority is participating in a social justice initiative, cool. If your priority is protecting your own data and your own privacy and security, cool. Just make sure you know where your priorities are and which priorities you could be compromising.
Yeah. I want to point out a slight bit of hypocrisy in this whole discussion. Apple has never allowed all apps on the store. There's been certain categories of apps that Apple, and not nefarious ones, like, of course, like the scams and whatever, like that's clear, but like other apps, Apple is always banned. Like,
oh, porn apps.
Porn apps, yeah. I didn't want to say it that way. But like porn apps, for example, there's and that is a legitimate business even. But Apple said, nope, we don't want that. And that was the end of it. So it's not... basically, this whole thing is as old as the App Store is. Apple has always decided what they allow and don't allow on the store. So this is no different. I mean, it might be different because now the government is pressuring them to remove it instead of Apple making an internal decision. But at the end of the day, removal is removal, or like rules are rules.
But that's no different than your local store deciding that they're not going to carry
magazines. No, I'm with you.
You know,
I wanted to do the devil's advocate a little bit, maybe badly, and say it's always been like that. Apple has always decided what they allow and don't allow in the store. So why is this different?
But okay, but if you really want porn, you can download a web browser and get all the porn you can stand.
But you cannot get apps.
You cannot get apps.
That is in Europe, actually, and that's probably the only market so far, is exactly what's now possible, that like you can have apps in alternative stores for that.
Right. So
if you're interested, theoretically,
somebody could set up, let's use the icebreaker thing. Theoretically, somebody could easily set up a website that did this, and you wouldn't have to have an app.
That's what I said earlier.
Yeah,
for sure. So, that's possible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just getting in here. So
no, that's totally possible.
Yeah. So Apple is not censoring that any more than they're censoring porn.
No,
it's just a specific app.
But for most people, like the website is not the same as an app. That is the reality. People look for apps, not for websites. They might use a website if they have to, but they always prefer an app. So. Yeah, but that's fine to say. Like this is probably one of the few cases where I'm for alternative app stores, because then I'm like, okay, so what? If some people want to have that icebreaker type app, they can download it from whatever store and at their own risks. Like, okay.
I am totally with you, Patrice. And this is also the place where I suddenly have a problem with the walled garden. The rest of the time, I typically don't. The part that bothers me the most about this, it's not Apple deciding what can and can't. By the way, people, if you're not with us live, you are so missing out on an amazing live chat right now.
Yes.
So what bothers me about this isn't Apple being the arbiter of what can and cannot be in the App Store. It's Apple crumbling under the pressure of a government agency to limit what's on the App Store.
Yeah.
It's Apple just saying, yeah, this is against our guidelines, okay, well, we can be pissed off at Apple for that. Yeah. But the thing about a government saying this is what you can and can't have in your App Store, that's a real problem for me.
As far as I know, and I'm of course no lawyer or legal scholar in the US, I don't think this app is illegal.
No. To the best of my knowledge, there's nothing about this app that's illegal. This would fall in the same category as an app where, like Waze, where you can tag where speed traps and
accidents,
red light cameras and stuff are.
Yeah. I'm sorry I wasn't here for this earlier part of this discussion.
Oh, that's fine.
Dave, you're shockingly quiet. Oh, it's because you're muted. No wonder you're quiet. Holy crap. Have we been talking over you?
Yes. No, not at all. I just was moving around. I don't want to make any noise. But no, I agree with everything you guys have been saying. It's just it's unfortunate that this has to happen. But, it is what it is.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm going to move us on because I want to get a PSA in here and still have time for all of our cool things. It's no secret. I have been complaining about how I'm having serious lag in performance on my Mac since going to macOS Big Lake. And that lag eventually leads to like runaway memory hogging to the point where like it cascades and all the apps on my computer get paused. I have to force quit enough of them so that I can get my cursor up to the Apple menu to restart my Mac. And this is like typically every couple days I have to reboot.
So you're saying something is slowing down the hamster in your Mac.
Yes. My little hamster cries. There's a show title for you. Jeff's Hamster Cries. Patrice, you helped me figure out where the problem was, and it's Electron apps. And then you found a Michael Tsai blog post about this very thing, which I just dropped into the live chat. So actually, since you found this, do you want to run with this?
Okay.
Explain what's going on?
I'll try to explain it, not too technically, because it's a very technical topic at the end. So it seems to be caused by Electron apps. There could be others that do similar things, but at least Electron has been identified as a big culprit. There's tons of Electron apps. I mean, the old Teams, Slack, 1Password. Like there's like tons of like
Text Expander.
A lot of the like I'm pretty sure ChatGPT and whatever. All of them are doing it. Like for me, for example, Canva, Discord, GitHub Desktop, TradingView, Visual Studio Code, of course, Windsurf, stuff like that, because also Visual Studio. Tons of apps, basically. And the problem seems to be that Electron internally uses a private API from Apple to do some corner radius shadow thingy to make them look macOS-like. Enough, at least. which I'm doing a good job at that. I think most people wouldn't know their Electron apps. That worked fine till Apple changed it. That's the problem with private APIs, because Apple might have changed something, and now because they've overwritten that method in their apps, or like hooked into that operating system method, which you can do, it's causing issues now, where it's like not behaving as it would be and causing, CPU, like the thing most people are seeing in the background is that basically a system processes are all of a sudden using a lot of CPU. You don't even see it in Activity Monitor, but you can figure it out. So there's basically the window manager that draws all the UI is all of a sudden using way more resources than it would be, which in turn then I think at some point also causes problems for the existing apps. I'm guessing they run out of memory in your case. If you have a lot of memory like me, you don't notice as much. I mean, I'm using like 50 gigs of RAM right now, and I have 64. But if you only have 16 or 24, then you might notice that a little bit earlier. So that's basically what's happening. And there is a new version out already of Electron, but the manufacturers of those apps have to build it into the app and then ship it, which so far they have not done. And I checked, there's some of them are really old. Like my email app, for example, is using a version 28, and I think 39 is, I think, the current one. Or what else do you have? Slack has 38. TradingView is 30. So if you like, there's a script that you can find. It's linked, I think, also in the article. That you can basically run, and it will tell you which versions, like which apps are vulnerable or have that problem and or have not been updated. It's a ton of apps. Like I'm running, I think, about 15 or so right now that have that. They will get, hopefully, will all get updated and it will go away. But or Apple will figure out how they can prevent this from happening. I mean, it's interesting that nobody in the beta tests noticed that. But then again, some instability is expected during the beta, so it might be that people just thought, oh, it's just a beta.
That makes sense. Yep. And I'm assuming I would have seen this problem before the public release had I been running the beta.
Yes, you might have, but again, you might have just thought, oh, it's just a beta doing the beta thing. It's not super stable yet.
Exactly what I would have assumed.
Yeah. So it's that two ways. Either Apple finds a way to fix it or temporarily fix it until this is updated. It doesn't sound like it's the intended behavior. Also from macOS side. And it did change. So like it's probably something they did in macOS that interacted with what Electron did.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
also the other tip is look that you like once they have new versions, hopefully with new Electron versions, see that you update to them as fast as possible. I'm pretty sure if you just quit all your Electron apps, then it also goes away, but that's probably not a good solution.
Did you say there's an actual site that shows which apps are?
There's a script. This might be a site by now, but in the article somewhere there's a script linked. I also could find it again.
I bet that there's a site by now. Well, okay. Guess what I'll be looking for after the show. Yeah. Yeah, I'm also curious if better way to come into the sentence. Edge is is laggy for me in Tahoe as well. Just tossing that out there for people.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Who are running Edge.
Yeah. It might be, I don't know that. It is possible that it's actually not a problem in Electron itself, but actually in Edge at the end. But because Electron uses Chromium like Edge does. So it is possible it goes even deeper than that, but yeah. Other people will figure that out.
Yeah. And I would switch from Edge, except that there just really aren't any options that let me do what I want to do because I'm not going to install Chrome.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Jeff, so, if I'm not I'm not sure if this question has been asked, but you were running the betas, were you not?
Not on not for Mac OS.
Okay, because I'm just wondering if the betas had these same issues with the Electron apps or not, because it seems like something that should have been fairly obvious, because these are popular apps. So why are we just hearing about it now?
So here's the thing. It's hard to tell in hindsight whether it was actually happening in those versions or it was a last minute bug fix that caused this. It's always possible. It's definitely not obvious, especially if you have a better meaning higher powered machine, like overpowered machine like I have, you might not know this as much. It's not that it's like glaringly obvious nothing works anymore. If you have a lot of CPU, GPU, it seems to affect the GPU especially as well. So if you have a lot of CPU, GPU, and RAM, you might not notice. Because it's not that it's sucking up all your stuff, or you maybe also not run. I mean, especially with the betas, you had about once or twice a week a new update, so it would reboot anyway. So it's possible that if you ran it for long enough, you would have noticed, but since you were updating and rebooting, say every 2 weeks, you didn't even notice. So it's hard to tell. Yeah, it's possible, but it's also possible we don't know. No, that maybe someone reported it. Like, we don't have access to Apple's bug tracking system, so it is possible.
No, but just with all the conversations that have gone back and forth about the betas, I would have thought that this would have been one that, you know, and all the they're calling complaints, call them observations, whatever, about this doesn't work in the beta, that doesn't work in the beta, it doesn't have this, it doesn't have that. That those conversations have now become very public.
That's
and true. I do not recall seeing anything that related to Electron apps. So that's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, as I said, don't know.
Yeah, it could be as simple as it just took this long to figure out where the problem was.
Yeah, but you would have. That's true. I mean, for me, until you mentioned it, I hadn't put it together. That might be a problem. I noticed that something wasn't 100% of my system. Like there was like some little things was like. But again, like running beta software, I'm like, okay, maybe it's a beta. And then when you mentioned it, I'm like, oh yeah, actually that does make sense. So it's possible that people noticed but didn't really think about it.
Yeah, and where your logic train went initially, I think that could still come into play with all of this. What you thought initially when I started listing apps I'm having problems with, you said, oh, well, a lot of those, they're basically just wrappers for websites.
Yeah. Well, a little bit more than that. Electron does more than just wrapping a website.
Right. So, but I'm thinking that that there might be an element that plays into this that does relate to the website rendering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It has to emulate macOS UI and controls that you don't have to do with native app, because if it's written in AppKit or UIKit, AppKit or Swift UI, then you get that for free from the OS.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, anyhow, if you rely on Electron apps,
which a lot of companies do,
yeah,
for good reasons. Like I'm not saying the companies stupid. No, there's very good reasons to do so.
So, Jeff, and again, if I don't think I missed this in the conversation, but so is the solution or is a workaround? Maybe not a solution, a workaround. Just quitting the apps occasionally? Or do you have to restart the entire machine to eliminate the issue?
I think you have to reboot.
I end up having to reboot.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you quit, if you quit all of them, it's possible that it goes back to normal, but it just restarting them, I don't think fixes the problem.
Okay. Yeah, so then this becomes a reason to maybe restart your machine once a day, which is not something you want to do, but it's probably better than having it bogged down or crash or having your apps become inoperable.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can tell you my work machine has less RAM, I think, still 32 gigs, but less. I notice it there more. Less CPU, less RAM, less GPU, and I do notice it there more.
Yeah, and for right now, having 16 gigs of RAM, to me, is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been until upgrading to macOS Big Lake.
Yeah.
Now, my expectation is that as we get new updates out that that address all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Electron apps get updated, that my 16 gig limitation won't be a limitation again.
Oh, it will eventually, but maybe not now. Maybe in a couple of years.
Yeah, by the time it becomes an issue for me, I'll be replacing that Mac anyhow,
mm-hmm.
or this Mac.
Yeah. If you update to new operating systems, eventually they will slow down. It's simply they're built for newer generations of Macs and whatever, and at some point, like, they do more, so they're going to use more. So that's okay, I would hope.
Yeah, and there was a time when 8 gigs of RAM was more than enough for a computer.
There was a time where 1 megabyte of RAM was like crazy. What did we ever do with that?
there was a time when people thought that I had the most amazing Apple II clone in the world because it had 64K of RAM instead of 32.
Yeah. Remember how much RAM the original iPhone had? It was megabytes.
Oh, holy crap.
What was it? 8, 16, something like that? I don't remember. It was not a lot.
I forgot about. Yeah, it was not much. Yeah. All right. So now that we've gotten through our extended PSA, it's time for a much better PSA, which is
128 megabytes. Sorry, I was over.
128 megabytes.
Yeah, I was underestimating it a little bit.
But still, that's not a lot. No.
No.
No. Okay, so but this is a more fun PSA, and it's about AWE technologies.
Oh.
And why is this a great PSA? Because, well, first, I'll just tell you, they are sponsoring our show, and thank you for doing that. They're making sure we have the server space, the hosting space, everything we need so that we can live stream shows every single week. And we really, really appreciate that. What they do is give you that on-site monitoring that you need for whatever your big project is. So if you need to have environmental monitoring, you need to have live video to make sure that none of the equipment at whatever your big project site is being taken or whatever you need. That's what AWE technology takes care of, and they do an amazing job. And if Ewan was here, he could tell you even more about how awesome they are, but he's not. So, well,
they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, you have to live with that saying. It's awesome. So go check them out, awetechnologies.co.uk, and it's AWE. You know, like, aw.
Aw.
No, actually, with an E on it, it's like, oh. So on technologies.com or
.co.uk. Oh boy.
Yeah. And hey, thank you, AWE Technologies, for sponsoring us. Patrice, we've had a lot of activity happening in our live chat today.
We did.
Do you mind telling people how they can find that?
Yeah, we have a really cool live chat today, really active, as you said, worth it every day. And it's very easy to use. You head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are recording. So right now would be a good time. By the time you hear that, it's probably too late. And that is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show if you're interested in non-Apple news and discussions and other people. Fair warning, I think daylight savings is coming up on the US side, and Europe is always a little bit behind. I think about 2 weeks this time, 2-3 weeks, something like that. So times will change. The time does not change on our side. So it's always 4 p.m. UK time. Whatever that is in your time zone, daylight savings or not, you have to figure out. There's apps for that, just saying. Yeah, and you head there. You can watch us. You can, like, on the right-hand side, there is a chat. You can just start typing. It generates names like the priceless Arabetha. I don't know what that is.
Arabetha.
Okay. Yes, stuff like that, but names like that, funny names. But if you want to change it, up top, there is a button. Click on change name. And that's it. There's some registered names. So like Jeff and me, for example, you cannot take. So just saying. If you do a Fedi auth, then you can register your name and then it's taken.
Awesome. Patrice, thank you. Well, first, thank you for getting that system in place, because it's awesome. And then thanks for telling everyone.
But by the way, britishtechnetwork.com/chat is where the transcript is live. So, like, even if you're not in the live chat, you could literally, Dave put this cool thing in a second ago, and you already see it on the website. So, select today's date. It's Friday, October 3rd, 2025. If you select that, you will see what we talked about, all the links and everything.
Awesome. And speaking of those links, Patrice, you actually got your cool thing in before Dave. So tell us about yours.
Yes, I was like, this time I'm going to be first. Usually I'm last. My cool thing is a new book, new audiobook actually even, but it's also out there in Dead Trees and Electronic Trees if you're interested. Dan Brown's The Secret of Secrets came out, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I think. I don't remember exactly. I bought it and I finally listened to it, and it is a really cool, really interesting book. It's in a way a little bit different than the others have been. It's more about science and more current science and less about mystics and mystical things. There is some of that. I found it quite thought-provoking, I have to say, that the science and, like, I mean, of course, it's a story, and it's a novel, right? It's not a scientific paper. So, of course, not everything in the book is actually true, but a lot of things, of those things, and like the research he references and whatever, are actually. And it is really well done. I really enjoyed it. I could not put it down. Like, I abandoned or ignored a bunch of podcasts, like Make Voices, for example, for a little while, because I was listening to this and I could not switch to something else. I really had to finish it. Fortunately, I had a lot of business trips, so that helped with that. Good book. The Secret of Secrets, available now.
The Secret of Secrets. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a reference, awesome. The Secret of Secrets. Like, there's a reason why it's called that.
Well, I mean, it's a Dan Brown book, so of course it is.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Dave, tell us about your cool thing that is so fresh that the packaging's still hot.
Yeah, I just got it. The new MX Master Logitech mouse. I've got the old one, the 3S, right here, but I was ready for upgrade because this just came out. The biggest thing this is adding is the haptic feedback, which I'm looking forward to trying out. I've just found this mouse to be very, very nice in the hand. I go between the trackpad and the mouse. Here I use a mouse. Sometimes I use a trackpad. So I'm kind of going either way. But Logitech, as we know, makes great, great mice. And I think this is a good one as well. They even sent me a free case with it, which I didn't get yet, but it's coming. That goes with it. So if I want to travel with it, it goes a little pouch goes into. I put the link in the chat and check it out. I think it's a really nice mouse.
You know, I wish I could try these mice.
This is see that's the one thing. I am left-handed, but I do my mousing right-handed. Hmm. So
does it come in color?
If you get the Mac version, it comes in white.
Again, does it come in color?
With spray paint.
Okay. Maybe I should get the Mac version and spray paint it.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing I'd say about this. They have a Mac version and they have just a standalone regular version for all versions. It's the same darn mouse. They charge more for the Mac version. So why am I paying
$30
more? No, I'd rather
have paid $150 more for a black MacBook Pro. No, MacBook. So.
Oh, that's different.
I mean, no, mouse, it's not.
You know, functionality-wise, I just don't see why they do that. But
yeah, it's white.
What do I know? But it comes in white and the graphite. It comes both colors.
Oh, okay.
So, Dave, you're not the first person I've seen getting excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other chat groups I'm in where earlier this week, everyone is just going crazy about my new MX showed up and this one and everyone was super excited.
All their MX series products are really good. They're really good keyboards and mice, but I've been stuck on this mouse for the last two or three versions.
Awesome. Okay, Chuck, that means it's your turn.
Okay, I needed an outdoor security camera. And so I started doing some research and thoroughly confused myself because every choice seems to have a compromise of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a subscription, whether it is security, which is kind of ironic for a security camera, whether it's performance, whether it's resolution, storage, onboard storage, it'll drive you nuts. I settled on the Eufy Security Floodlight Camera E30. So there are so many. I mean, and again, we could be here for an hour talking about the features, and you know why you go with one versus the other. But some of the things that really influenced me. This is a 2K camera. It has lights built in so that you know you can set them to trigger if something happens. You have onboard storage that you can use. It does not require a subscription. Eufy is, I already had some experience with some Eufy products. And so they integrate right in with an app that I'm already familiar with. And so that's the way I decided to go. The lights, I'm just reading here the stats. There is AI detection and traffic tracking, whatever that means. But it will, you know, it will follow once it recognizes something and locks on. It is 360 degree pan and tilt. So it will track it, which is a really nice feature. So something really isn't moving in and out of frame just when you hope that they'll turn and look at you. But yeah, I just felt like this was a nice combination of things that represented the least compromises on the things that meant the most to me. So far, I'm very happy with it. I would recommend it to anyone. But again, you know, build your chart of things because these things constantly change. And there's the other little issue of price. That you can spend an ungodly amount of money on these things. And this price seemed to be well within something I was looking for with this feature set.
Awesome. And I'm assuming this one is HomeKit compatible?
Yes, I believe it is, Jeff. Honestly, I got to the point that was not that big a thing for me.
You know, I'm actually with you on that.
You know, it's one of those things I would like, but it sort of fell off the chart. It's like, okay, fine, you know, because that introduces its own little set of issues.
Yeah, or in my case, big issues. But yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Then I believe it is now my turn.
Yep.
And this is a cool thing that I probably should have brought to the table a long time ago, but for some reason never thought about it. This is an app for your It's an iPhone app with companion Apple Watch app, and it's called O2 Buddy. And the reason I should have brought it a long time ago is because in the U.S., you know, Apple couldn't have the data showing for the blood ox sensors because of the whole Masimo case thing. And so people were like, oh my God, it's the sensor's been deactivated. No, access to the information was deactivated. So you could pick up this app for 99 cents and then see all of that blood ox data and have a really nice interface and have information displayed on the Apple Watch face, which is why I'm bringing it now. Because with the changes that Apple made, you have to go to your phone to see all the information. And for 99 cents, you can have more information showing on your watch, and you can even have a complication. So it's a cool little app, and it works really well. And it's only 99 cents. And if you find the developer's video for it, he does sensationalize just a little bit because he made the video before Apple had their workaround for the Masimo thing. And his video is like, I can't believe Apple approved this app. Better get it before it gets pulled from the apps, you know, that kind of thing. And of course, Apple's going to approve the app because there's nothing in the court order that said third parties cannot write apps. It's only Apple that couldn't allow you to access the data. So anyhow, O2 Buddy, it's 99 cents, and you get you can have a complication on your Apple Watch, and you can see more data on your watch than you can without the app. And then, of course, you can go back to your iPhone and have the full interface to see tons of data. And it hooks up with HealthKit, of course.
Very cool.
So there you go. O2 Buddy.
This is cool.
So with that, let's wrap up and figure out where we can find everyone. So Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week, almost every week here on The Big Show and The Mac Show, and I say almost because sometimes I'm traveling, like in the next 2 weeks. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, and in about, what is it now? Today's Friday, so about less than 2 weeks, I'm in France, in Strasbourg, at the Matrix conference. Like it's a messaging service, messaging app, messaging protocol, to talk about messaging in healthcare. So if you're in the area, if you're interested, that's something you're up for, join me there. Like join my talk and learn more about what we're doing. And with you, Jeff, on Retro Rewatch, wherever you do other things, I also talk a lot. We rewatch Stargate SG-1 right now. And we're in the middle of season 3. And if I remember correctly, it should be season 3, episode 8, I think. Demons? Yeah, Demons should be next.
Demons, okay.
Demons should be next. So coming out probably today or tomorrow.
Awesome. Awesome. Patrice, kick ass on your presentation.
Will do.
Yeah, I have no doubt that you will. Cool. Okay, Dave, when you're not busy redesigning your office and setting up new Logitech mice, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchableiOS, InTouchableiOS.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/InTouchableiOS. I'm on Vision Profiles podcast with Marty Genesius and Eric Bolden on Monday nights. Tuesday nights, Mac Voices Live with Chuck and Jeff and sometimes Patrice and many others. On Thursday nights, we record Intentionally iOS, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and Fridays here on the Mac Show. And you can find me on our social media, Blue Sky, Mastodon, Dave G65.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find all the interviews we do. We do the live show, and that gets released on the feeds in a segmented fashion as well. That's this live show is Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And also, you can find me on all the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. All right. And then I'm Jay Gamet on all the socials. And I am most active right now on Mastodon and Blue Sky and PixelFed. And related to that, we are in October, so it's Inktober. And I am posting my daily Inktober drawings on all those platforms, also on LinkedIn. That's where I'm Jeff Gamet, not Jay Gamet. And for those people that know where to find me on Facebook, there too. So then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and Patrice and I do Retro Rewatch. So with that, it now is time to wrap up. Thank you to the three of you for being here and putting a smile on my face. Chuck, a special thank you to you for your announcement that you're buying all of us new Vision Pros. That's really generous and very sweet.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I missed this part.
How did you miss it?
We heard it all here. Yes.
We all heard it.
We all heard it.
I'll go back and watch the recording.
Yeah, and you'll see that you did commit. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, everyone that's watching and listening live, thank you for being here and being a part of this. If you've been in the live chat, thank you for being part of that as well. Everyone that watches and listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of our big family too. And hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Awe Technologies, thank you for being here and sponsoring us. And now, don't forget to come back next Thursday for the Big Show, and then on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.